I've always thought that one of the most perplexing questions in spirituality is, why do bad things happen to good people? I mean, think about it. How many prayers for healing of cancer rise up to God each day throughout the world, and yet people keep dying of cancer? Or how many prayers of deliverance from addiction are said to God each day, and how many people continue to fall into life-ruining tailspins with alcohol, drugs, eating, and shopping, and so many other addictive behaviors? Hurricanes, floods, fires, earthquakes, famines, wars, abortions, divorces, loss of jobs, they keep happening right in the midst of our daily prayer and coming to Mass every Sunday and rosaries and holy hours in front of the Eucharist. I mean, I suspect a majority of us here, if asked to tell the truth, have much longer lists of prayers not answered than prayers actually answered. It's a wonder that people remain faithful. Actually, that might be the most profound work of the Holy Spirit of all, that people keep coming back to church, that we remain people of hope, people of faith, in spite of the calamities in our lives. Here's the point that God wants us to get today. This quandary of a deep desire for encounter with God is always at the same time an experience of God who remains so hidden from us. This is what I keep coming back to as I read over this passage, this classic story of the raising of Lazarus. This is what's happening in this story. God is walking among them, and yet God also remains somehow hidden from them when they were beset by calamity. He was their best friend. Jesus was their best friend. He was someone that they could count on, someone that they'd seen curing people. They'd seen him casting out demons, healing blind eyes, raising others from the dead, but with his best friends, he seemingly did nothing. Isn't that interesting? With his best friends, he did all of these other miracles for what appears to be strangers. And yet, with his best friends, he does nothing. I can see how Mary and Martha would have been frustrated with him. But that's just it. That's the point. Jesus' apparent silence, his not answering their calls when Lazarus was dying, was actually the very sign of his love for them. Father Rollheiser has a blog that I'm fond of reading. It came out some years back, and his blog post was titled, God's Risk, Our Freedom. That one of the most important gifts of God to us is a profound gift of freedom. Rollheiser explains that evil exists. Bad things exist. Difficult and calamitous situations happen to us in life because God respects our freedom, both in the natural world and in people's lives. When we are confronted with bad things in our lives, it's easy to conclude that God doesn't care, or that even that God doesn't exist. But this is exactly where the profound truth about God comes into focus. God allows bad things to happen to good people because he values freedom in a way that we can't totally understand. Pope John Paul II understood this when he said once, hell is God's great compliment to human freedom. God doesn't want bad things to happen to good people. He doesn't want people to die unexpectedly or to get cancer or for relationships to break down or for cities to be destroyed by hurricanes. He certainly doesn't want anyone to go to hell. But he allows unfortunate things to happen to good people because he respects people so much. That's what's happening in this story with Lazarus today. God, this is really important. Think about your life. God never seeks to make things easier on us. This is one of the great misunderstandings of contemporary spirituality, that if we pray hard enough, if we come to church long enough, if we give enough money, things will go well for us. This is not the Christian gospel. If God made things easier on us, then he would be making us and the world around us into something less than what we are. He would be giving us less value than we are worth. I know it doesn't immediately make sense, but think about it. I suppose we could say it this way. Difficulties in life are God's great complement to human and natural freedom. The difficulties in our life are actually God's complement, saying, I am going to give you freedom to choose as you will. And I also give the natural world freedom to do as it will. So bad news and bad mistakes and bad decisions, they're all components of our freedom that ultimately ends up finding meaning in our free will commitment to faith in God, that he will never leave us to face our perils alone. God, this is really important, what I'm about to say. God isn't necessarily interested in rescuing us as much as he is interested in redeeming us. That's what happens in this story. He doesn't go and rescue Lazarus. He doesn't come and rescue you and me from our foolishness. He's much more interested in redeeming us from those difficult things. This is why Father Rollheiser titles his blog, God's Risk, Our Freedom. He says, God went so far as to give us a freedom that even he wouldn't tamper with. How incredibly mature this is of God. Think about your relationships with others, husbands and wives, parents and children, friends and friends. This would be a good question for you to ask. How much freedom do I give the other? Do I love such that I give the other the freedom to be who they are, even if they mess up? The freedom to make a mistake. Do you love each other enough to allow the other to even hurt you? I often tell couples in weddings when I'm giving the homily, I say, you're being called to a ministry now. Your marriage is a ministry in which you must love each other in total freedom, where there should be no fear of being yourself, free of anxiety of being yourself, even when bad things happen. You ever notice when someone makes fun of someone else? On the surface, it's funny. Everybody laughs. But deep down inside, when someone makes fun of someone else, they're stealing the freedom of that other person to be who God made them to be. So, back to Lazarus. Jesus tells us why he allows Lazarus to die. He says, this illness won't end in death. It is for the glory of God. If we were to look at the unfortunate situations that beset us in life, if we were to see them as moments of the glory of God, it would change everything. I'll say that again. If you were to think of the real difficult things that happen in your life, whether they be your fault or someone else's fault, if you were to see those as real moments of the glory of God, it would change everything. It's so obvious when you look at it. When taken together as a whole, the inexplicable birth of a child to a virgin, the amazing miracles that he performed, multiplying fish and bread for 5,000, healing crippled people, then the crucifixion itself, which would be a total personal calamity, finally, the glorious resurrection, if you take all of it in its entirety, it's like a recipe that calls for multiple ingredients, some of which on their own you'd never eat. Baking powder. Who would ever eat a spoonful of baking powder? And yet, eat the most glorious chocolate chip cookie fresh out of the oven with a cold glass of water on a winter day, and the bitterness of the baking powder makes perfect sense. Bad things happening to good people on their own makes no sense. Parkinson's, failing a test that you studied for in school, divorce, failures, floods, famines, wars, and recessions, on their own, they seem like disasters. But when the day comes that we see the face of God and all is made new, then they become abundantly clear. Everything that happens to us, everything in your life that happens to you, everything that happens to us because of us, around us, or because of someone else, all of it is to show the glory of God. This means, then, that there are no calamities. There's just event after event after event in which God's providence, without always understanding it, is brought to bear on our freedom. Father Merton would put it this way: we do not detach ourselves from the things of this world in order to attach ourselves to God. Rather, we become detached from ourselves in order to see and use all things in and for God. This is what was going on with Lazarus, Martha, and Mary that day. Yes, Jesus knew that something bad had happened to Lazarus, that he had died. The answer, though, was not preventing that death. The answer was and remains for you and me detaching from that unfortunate event so as to see and use all things in and for God's purposes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.